from the latest happenings on the diamond.
They've obviously taken their hits at times, but I think Freddie Peralta has been so steady. Colin Ray, same thing.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
And he does it so unorthodox. Like, he'll change his batting stance, like, within an at-bat or at-bat to at-bat. Like, it's insane. Like, it defies kind of everything that you hear from players.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town. Also brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Brewers still in first place. Had a little bit of a bump out there in San Diego, but they've bounced back nicely. They've won three in a row, 47-33, as we reach the midpoint of the season today. They're wrapping up the series against the Rangers at American Family Field. To help us break it down, we welcome in Sophia Minert. Sophia, always appreciate you sharing some time and talking about the hot Milwaukee Brewers.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a happy halfway point, game 81. I don't even know how we got here, but here we are.
Yeah, but here we are, and the Brewers are in first place.
Here we are.
Everybody's excited. Everybody's happy. So last night, another great performance from Bryce Wilson. Why has he thrived in that? He's eating innings, but he's not a starter because they typically go with the opener before him. Why is he thriving in that role?
You know, I think we're all trying to find the answer to that. And we asked him about it last night. He says, the right things, and I don't think he's deceiving us at all. It's like he tries to go out there with the same approach, whether he's starting or coming out of the bullpen, the opener, which they've done a couple times with Jared Koenig, and then last night it was Hobie Milner for the first time. He says he goes about it the same way, but for whatever reason, with the opener, and maybe again, this is why they go with the opener, is to create these favorable matchups for the long relief guy, like Bryce Wilson. So maybe there is something to that, but like the matchups are working out for him. I think last night specifically, easily one of his best appearances of the season. He's gone six innings two other times before in the season, but he was just so efficient. He didn't have any walks. That's been a trouble spot for him. That was definitely a factor in his last start against the Padres. He didn't have more than 16 pitches in an inning. It was just like he was very much in rhythm, attacking, a lot of strikes, quality strikes. Everything was really competitive. They were aggressive. I just think everything kind of lined up for him. He got great defense behind him, which he always does. I think it's been working for him. And so I think he's obviously stretched out enough that he can start the game. But it also really shortens the game. When you get two innings from Hobie Milner, he gives you six great innings, and then you can turn it over to Elvis Figueroa. So it all worked out last night kind of how they would have wanted it to.
Sophia, how big of a deal is it in the Brewers acquiring Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah, that was definitely the big news yesterday. Look, I think what Dallas brings is obviously a ton of experience. He's been in the league for 12 years, hasn't pitched in the majors this year, but he's checked all the boxes of what a pitcher can do in the league. Cy Young Award winner in 2015, an All-Star, Gold Glove Award winner, a World Series champion, pitched a lot in the postseason, has had success, but he's also dealt with some adversity over the last couple of years of whether it's, injuries, bad performance, just not able to really figure things out. He is 36 years old now. But when we talked to him last night after the game, he had just gotten in and go through the physical and meet everybody. He seems really invigorated. He was pitching really well in AAA in the Seattle Mariners organization in Tacoma. His last five starts have been even better. He's only given up five earned runs in those games. He says that, like, he's gone through things physically, he's gone through things mentally, the doubt starts to creep in, you overcome those things, and, he still feels like he can get it done at this level. So the Brewers are giving him an opportunity. There's obviously a huge need there, just for innings, healthy arms, just all of it, considering how things have gone for the pitching staff. So I'm excited to see kind of what he does with the opportunity. And again, this is a guy who's done everything and has great experience. So we'll see what kind of lift he can give this team.
So we sit here at just about the halfway point, Sophia. Brewers are in first place by a solid amount. They have the third best record in the National League. And I mean, one of the things that the baseball media does now is, okay, halfway, you know, MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, all these different awards they're giving out at the halfway point. And you're not going to really see a lot of Brewer names being mentioned for this. So how do you explain the Brewers being 47-33 and they have a 5.5 game lead here basically at the midway point?
It's funny because that is the question we get from pretty much every team when we're on the road. I'm not even kidding. Like, every team that we go to, like, you know, the other announcers or media around the team, they come in and they ask Pat Murphy in our daily media sessions with him, like, how are you doing this? Like, because, you know, you look, and Pat Murphy will say that, too. It's, they have done an excellent job of, you know, first of all, their depth has been tested to the limit. So I think this is a credit to the front office of, like, despite all of that, they still have people coming up and performing from unexpected places. I would point to people like Jared Koenig and Brian Hudson. You could even put Joey Ortiz on that list, right? Of, you think about these players coming in at spring training, you think about what you thought the starting rotation was going to look like. I think that, you know, knock on wood here, that the position player group has stayed relatively healthy. They haven't had to absorb any significant injuries yet, but it's been depth, it's been unexpected performances, it's been a really consistent offense. It's been excellent defense. And I, you know, Murph has really instilled in this group, I think, like, the right mentality for this team, which has just been, you know, do your job to win tonight. And he's doing, you know, he and the coaching staff have done an unbelievable job of putting the players in the position to do that. He's giving them the freedom to just, like, go out and compete and be hungry and be themselves. And he's also kind of really instilled this, like, kind of underdog mentality of, you know, hey, we know on paper, like, people don't think we're good. Like, you know, he'll say this publicly to everyone. Like, we know that on paper, like, we're not supposed to be good. We know that we're, you know, quote unquote, surprising people. We know that people think that National League Central is a down division, right? You know, whatever the national media wants to put out there is the narrative. And I think he's just sort of feeding that of like, hey, you know, it's kind of the why not us, you know, it's like, at this point, halfway through the season, like, you've got to acknowledge, like, this is not just a streak, right? This team has really proven that it's resilient and competitive. So I don't know. I think it's been really fun to watch that unfold.
Oh, they're such a fun team to watch. Like, I'll be out at the game today. I can't wait to watch. And I think that this team is an example, Sophia, of the new rules that were put in place last year working. Because part of those rules, everybody wants to talk about the pitch clock, but part of those rules was the expanding of bases. The Brewers have the most stolen bases in all of baseball. They're an aggressive team. They're an athletic team. And now you can win with more than just one style of baseball. Before, under the old rules, it was everybody kind of sitting back waiting to hit the big three-run homer. Now the Brewers, they don't have a ton of power. They have some, sure. They don't have a ton of power, so they're pushing the issues on the base paths. It's resulted in some outs, yes, but it's resulted in a lot of good things for this team, I think, overall.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I do think part of that is, like, again, you've got to go back to the front office and the coaching staff of the roster that was put together. Like, now we've talked about this. This is probably one of the most athletic teams that this organization has had in a long time, right? So when you're talking about being aggressive on the base paths, when you're talking about the excellent defense, when you're talking about the outfield defense, right? When you're talking about speed, I mean, these guys are incredibly athletic. I mean, you've got speed and power pretty much up and down the lineup. You know, the Brewers are the only team in baseball right now that have 80-plus home runs and 80-plus stolen bases. So, like, to your point, yes, are they taking advantage of the rules? Sure, of course. But that's because, like, their personnel and the roster allows them to do that, right? This is the group that they have. And also, this is a group that, you know, they have to win games differently. So, yes, there's going to be outs on the bases sometimes, but more often than not, they're going to get the bag. They're going to, you know, make the play. You know, obviously, risk and reward, you're weighing that all the time. But they're trying to find every margin to be able to win these games and win series. And that's what ultimately puts you in the position that they are in the first half. So, you know, it really is like a top-down philosophy of, like, how this team was put together. Also, players coming into their own, right? Like, the player that Bryce Turang is this year compared to what we saw from him in his rookie season, mm-hmm. not even comparable, right? And then, you know, Joey Ortiz, what a player he has turned into, getting an everyday opportunity. We have not seen enough of T.L. Hall yet. Hopefully he's coming back very soon. You know, like, you think about the trade in the offseason, what a huge storyline that was, losing Corbin Burns. And again, all the injuries, like Tobias Myers comes out of essentially Double-A, and he has a chance now to win National League Pitcher of the Month for what he did in June. So it's been, you know, unexpected players stepping up and taking advantage of their opportunity. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
So you mentioned the one question that you get asked and Murphy gets asked every time you guys go on the road. The one question I get asked anytime I'm hanging out with people and the Brewers come up, what are they going to do when Garrett Mitchell comes up? Because, you know, Sal's had his moments. Blake Perkins has had his moments. You know, obviously Christian, and I would say especially the way Jackson Chourio's been playing recently, they're not going anywhere. What are they going to do when Garrett's ready to come out of the minor rehab assignment and join the club at the big league level for the first time this year?
Yeah, and he's definitely getting close. He's been down in AAA for 2 weeks. We have also asked that question of, you know, when is Garrett coming back and how does this work, Murph, of putting the roster together? And I think, I don't know when they're going to make that move. I do think Garrett is very close. It could be within the next week or so. And in terms of the corresponding move, you know, I don't know how they're going to piece it together because, like you said, there's no obvious odd man out. You obviously don't hope for an injury for anybody. And I do think Garrett initially might not be in the lineup every day. So it might still be a platoon situation. They've juggled this kind of pieces before. You know, you can use his speed off of the bench. You could make a move with one of the utility infielders. So I don't know. They always figure these things out, and every time we think, like, it's never going to work, they figure out a way to make it work. So I think the most important thing for Garrett is that he's healthy, he's playing well in Nashville, he's getting, you know, the reps that he needs, essentially building up after missing 2+ months. So he will be ready to go. I'm just not sure that he'll be ready to go every day in the lineup. And again, it's like, the outfield defense has been excellent. Blake Perkins has been excellent in center field. Yelly's going to continue to be out there every day. He might be DHing more. Reese Hoskins will still get DH days. And then, you know, you've got Sal and Jackson who have been great too. So it'll all work out. I don't know how, but it will.
Just got to trust Sophia on that one. Sophia, we certainly appreciate the time. Enjoy the ballpark today as the Brewers go for the sweep of the Texas Rangers.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Sophia Minert joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Certainly that is. I'm really curious to see what they do with Garrett Mitchell. But again, we'll have to wait and see. Brewers do have an off day tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe he ends up getting called up before the Cubs series. Just got to be patient on that one. We'll see what we've got on the polls. That's coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.